Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Revelation, chapter 3. We come to the sixth of the seven churches. And the messages that the Lord had for those churches. This time in a city called Philadelphia. Revelation, chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. And I am reading once again from the English Standard Version. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one will open. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Excuse me. Lord, give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us. Amen. When I was growing up in Southern California, one of the landmark buildings in downtown Los Angeles was the Church of the Open Door, appropriately located at the corner of 6th and Hope Streets, downtown L.A. And you can see it there. Were you to go downtown today, you would not see it. But when I was growing up, it was there with an interesting story. R.A. Torrey was invited to come and start a Bible Institute in Los Angeles, similar to Moody Bible Institute. And Torrey agreed that he would come only if he were also allowed to start a church. And so the building that you're looking at, well, you're looking at part of it, consisted of two towers, one on each side, that housed the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, which today we know only by its initials, BIOLA. And in between, a large sanctuary. Now, if someone told me I was going to plant a church, I'm not sure I would start with a sanctuary that seated 4,000 people. But Torrey apparently was a bold man. And for most of the 20th century, the Church of the Open Door had a fantastic ministry in Los Angeles. On each of the towers was one of those large neon Jesus Saves signs. I am told the Jesus Saves signs are still in downtown Los Angeles, though the building is no longer there. For 70 years, it was a church of opportunity. If you were to look the upper picture there on the right, you're looking from the back towards the front of the sanctuary. And in that area, kind of under that dome, was a large map of the world. And I can remember being in that church, and there were lights, red lights in that map of the world, somewhere around 100 of them. representing missionaries that had been sent out and supported by the Church of the Open Door in Los Angeles. There were another, I believe they were green lights, set of green lights, a little over three dozen of them, representing other members of the Church of the Open Door, supported by other mission agencies. It was a church that took advantage of the opportunity that God gave it while they had that opportunity. Times changed. Trindor moved to the suburbs. And a year later, the Whittier Narrows earthquake hit and the building was condemned. Too expensive to fix. Being a church of opportunity is a great thing. And we come to a church in the book of Revelation that was such a church. It was a church of an open door. Well, what do you do with an open door? Let me remind you of the basic matrix kind of outline we're using as we look at the messages to these churches. Jesus first identifies himself in a way that is particularly appropriate to that particular local church. He then identifies the church. And he says, in each case, I know something about that church. Then he has a word for them of perhaps encouragement, occasionally of rebuke. And then there is a promise to those who overcome, those who are victors. And I think I need to not get too far away from the water this morning. So let's dig in quickly and briefly this morning to this passage. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write the words of, and Jesus is about to identify himself, the Holy One. The one who is totally holy. Set apart. Totally holy. In our contemporary world, we sometimes have difficulty with the idea of holiness. We shouldn't, but we do. Because most of the world around us doesn't understand what holiness is. Jesus identifies himself first as the one who is totally holy. The words of the Holy One, the true one, the one who is trustworthy, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. Totally holy, totally true, has a key of David. What on earth is that all about? Has to do with authority. The other scriptural reference to the key of David you'll find in the book of Isaiah in the 22nd chapter, where the key of David is given to a particular individual who will have authority. Jesus says, I am the one who is holy, I'm the one who is true, who is trustworthy, I'm the one who has the authority. I am the one who creates opportunities, who opens doors that no one shuts, and who shuts doors that no one opens. Now, I'll tell you, in 1987, when the door shut on that downtown building in Los Angeles, no one was going to open it. I am Jesus. the Holy One, the true One, the one in charge, the one who presents opportunities. And then he says to this group of believers in Philadelphia, as he has said to every other church, I know your works. It's always true. He always knows our works. Sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not so good, but he knows. To the church at Philadelphia, there is no specific rebuke given. It seems that they had their act together. And the Lord of the church says to them, I know your works. I have set before you an open door which no one's able to shut. I have set before you an open door, opportunity. You are a church of great opportunity. Is that good news? It ought to be good news, except there's a problem here. Because Jesus also says, I know that you have but little power. Oh, man. Wouldn't it be nice if we could get away from that combination? Great opportunity, little power. Does this feel familiar at all to any of you? Have you been there? Are we living there? Are we sometimes a church of great opportunity and a little power? Yeah. It's a problem, isn't it? Limited power. Those of you that are old enough to remember the comic strip Pogo, some of you, some of my generation, yes. One of the great comic strips of the 20th century until Walt Kelly's death in, I think they, probably the 1980s, maybe earlier than that. Pogo the Possum at one point says, gentlemen, we are surrounded by insurmountable opportunities. Insurmountable opportunities. Sometimes life feels like that, doesn't it? Philadelphia church would have understood Pogo. I felt a little bit like that 13, 14 months ago when we started on this interim adventure. What a great opportunity, but who am I? What do you do with great opportunity and only a little power? Jesus says, I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. You've been faithful. And if you come to a situation of great opportunity and little power with a faithful character, there's hope, as there was hope for the Philadelphia church. Because this mismatch between opportunity and power, God meets. He speaks into that mismatch, and he does so by injecting himself into the picture. You see, it's not just a case of my little power and this great opportunity. It's a case of my little power, this great opportunity, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. And if I ever look at great opportunity without factoring in the presence of God himself, I am making a huge mistake and setting myself up for failure. Beware. The Lord of the church has some encouragement for them. Opportunity plus weakness plus God. And he says, you know, you've got some opposition here. We've talked a little bit about this opposition before, and I don't want to dig up too much stuff with what we've already said. The synagogue of Satan, the phonies in the church, the people who were unreal. Jesus says of them, those who say they're Jews and are not but lie, I will make them come and bow down before your feet. These are people who are going to worship in front of you. And they will learn that I have loved you. They will learn that I have loved you. Because you've kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that's coming on the whole world. Church of Philadelphia, I have the opportunity to protect you in the midst of a messed up world. Remember, he told them he was the one who could be trusted. He's the true one, the holy one, the one of authority, the one who controls opportunities. And then he tells them, I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. Church of Philadelphia, understand the opportunity that you are looking at will not last forever. Got it? The opportunity won't last forever. The door is open now and no one can shut it because God opened it. But if you wait long enough, God's going to shut it. In 1987, Los Angeles. So, hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Church at Philadelphia, finish well. Finish well. I want to say that to all of you, but I especially want to say it to those of you who are of my generation. Because in the normal course of events, we're a little closer to finishing than some of the younger folks are, right? Finish well. Hold on to what you've got. Don't let go. Don't retire too soon. Don't throw in the towel. I say this to you, and I keep encouraging the search team to keep looking. I'm looking forward to re-retiring. No quit. Finish well. Finish well. And then comes the promise. The one who... The one who conquers. Who are the conquerors? We were singing a little earlier who the conquerors were, weren't we? Thank you, Micah, for that new song. We are. We who trust the Lord. The one who conquers, I will make him conquer. a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. Have you known people that you would refer to as pillars of the church? It's a biblical concept. It's people who last. I'm going to make you pillars in the temple of my God. Permanence. I could have showed you a picture of the ruins of Philippi. There are there still pillars. Not much else there, but pillars. And the Lord of the church says to these Christians, I'll make you pillars. You're going to last. And I'm going to give you three names. I'm giving you the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. And I'm going to give you my new name. Do I really need three names that are not exactly mine? You ever walked around town and seen couples walking around with t-shirts on and one of them says, I'm with stupid, with an arrow pointing. And the other one just says stupid. Valerie and I do not have shirts like that. But she keeps looking for them. Guess which one she's going to get. Whose name do you want written on you? The idea here is one of belonging. Belonging. The Lord Himself writes His name on us. I sometimes write my name in a book. I want people to know it's mine. Just in case it goes astray, I want it to come back. You know, Valerie doesn't want those books to come back. She just assumed they disappeared. But the Lord of the church writes his name on us. And he says, you're mine. And you're permanent. You're mine forever. Forever. One of the dangers, I think, of this all too common combination that we come up against of opportunity, great opportunity, and little power, is discouragement. We look at the opportunity, and we look at the little power, and we figure, how can I deal with this? I deal with it by welcoming God into the picture. A God who knows my character, who provides my resources, who keeps the open door there, who opens my doors and sometimes shuts them. What trusting Him looks like is little strength, plus an open door, plus a trustworthy God. And when you bring those things together, you're a conqueror. Lord, make us conquerors. Help us to see the opportunities you set before us. And help us to focus not on our little strength, but on your great strength. thank you for making us yours. Thank you for giving us everything we need to serve you well. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.